Hello, I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders talk show. And last week we talked a little bit about truth and what it was not compared to what I felt inside of truth. And tonight we're going to be discussing communication and the core of our being, which is the core of our being, and the different definitions of truth, which still are not the truth. As well as I'll take call-ins and give you some readings or some intuitive consulting with your personalities, or read out of my journal, or just take you on a little trip of meditation state. Let me give you the call-in numbers. The call-in number to the USA only is 877-876-5227. The USA and Canada number is 888-815-9756. And the direct line, if you have a plan, is 530-876-3222. Now, communication being the core of our being is everything in which communicates to us the information, even without a thought automated, like a habit, you know, like reaching for a crystal glass or a crystal bowl that maybe is on the top shelf that maybe my grandma or Nana Nunu left me. And in the china cabinet, you know, you may have in your home. So automatically, you know where the crystal glass was, right? One thought triggers another, and then another thought. Always thinking about memories or reminiscing. A lot of people do what could have, should have, or been of, or would have, or if onlys. But what you're doing or going to do, how you have to do it, or don't want to do it, maybe need to do it, or should be doing it, even shouldn't be doing it, can't be done all at one time. The conversations continuously go on and on and on, analyzing in our minds how things were taken and making excuses for different situations at different times, what they didn't mean or what someone else will say, second guessing, trying to get the outcome, how you will act, how you will fix something, or taking the blame. It's funny how people love to take, like I said last week, when something's really great, they'll take it for themselves. But then when it does something wrong or goes wrong, then they're ready to play the blame game. Not seeing the pattern or seeing the forest instead of the trees. If there is a caller that calls in, just interrupt me, okay? Mind is reading and analyzing and predicting and changing words. You know, like what was said. Obsessing, misdirecting. The definition missing its meaning. Or something taken out of context of its own perspective. Something conjured up. Mind never rests even when it's sleep dreaming. When we meditate on a word and quiet the mind, that's what I do. I meditate on one word and quiet my mind, like the word light. And I'll just keep saying light, light. And if my mind starts to wander, I'll tap myself on the arm, you know, right above my wrist with two fingers. And that'll bring me right back to where I was with the word light or God. Or star. It doesn't matter what word you use. Some people like to look into a candle, but I don't because I like to close my eyes and look into my third eye. But when we meditate on one word, it quietens the mind. It just shuts it off. It takes a little bit of practice, but it will work. The word never mind. What a word. You think of that. Never mind. Not for your mind to have thought of. And what it was going to be spoken. That's what never mind means to me. And the rules that can be changed, like forget it. Or there's that word again. I always circle my words it because I-T is cross the T and dot the I. And it can represent anything in the universe or anything beyond the universe. It just represents anything in a sentence. So also I talk in third person a lot of times saying you or they. And people seem to generally think that I'm talking about them when I'm not. So I have to learn to talk better by saying I feel and I need and I see, instead of saying you or they in third person, which triggered my thought when I saw the word it in my journal, because I'm reading out of my journal entry, which is November 2002, and it's part of Coming Out of the Forest, the Million Mile Journey. Okay, now what triggers a thought? And 10 or 15 minutes later, thoughts start, you know, blasting again, and you want to go back to each thought to see if it relates. But let me give you a little hint of when you can't go to sleep, okay? The last thing that you put on your mind, the last sentence or the last thought, right instantly when you wake up in the morning, that's going to be your answer, but you got to catch it so fast. I mean, lickety-split fast, because it's the first thought that you wake up to. Okay, so if you can't fall asleep, instead of counting sheep, what I do is I go back. I'll be thinking like, okay, I'm going to give you an example. A lot of people used to tell me, the doctors told me this was ADD, but it's really not, because the Master Butterfly said everybody would be ADD if that was the truth. But if you think about, like, I'd be in school, and I would get real sleepy, and so I would start to meditate as a child at about sixth grade. And I would think, gosh, that person's hair smells good, you know, like in front of me. And then before I knew it, I was thinking how they were at the store buying the shampoo. And then before that, I was thinking how the shampoo was put on the shelf by the person. And then before that, I was thinking how it came to the store. Before that, I was thinking how it was made in the bottle and put in the bottle. Before that, I was thinking how the shampoo was made. Before that, I was thinking how the lemons were, if it's lemon smell or if it's fragrant smell or if they got it from the flower or whatever. And so I have to stop my thought like that and go all the way back and say, does that lemon smell or flower smell even relate to the smell of her hair? Yes, I stayed on track. You see, but if you go back in your thoughts while you're still trying to go to sleep, bet you none of them even relate, because your mind is trying to empty itself. And remember, your subconscious mind will do anything to get its answer. It will make you even stand on your head. It will keep coming back, so you have to, like I've told you before, you have to acknowledge the thought and say, I will take you into consideration, I acknowledge your thought, and I will write about you in 5 minutes, or I will thank you thought in 5 minutes. Another little hint I want to give you guys, the listening audience of www.bbsradio.com out there in the universal world, is that when you're doing anything like trying to remember something, your mind can only hold a certain amount of things. I was telling my girlfriend Jan this the other day when she was studying about the sales. And she was going to have a test. And I said, okay, you take a definition, like 5 definitions. You can study 5 definitions for 5 minutes, and you study each one of them 5 times. Then you take a break for 5 minutes. But your mind can only hold whatever number it is put in it, you know, for a definition, like say 4. Say you pick 4 definitions, or you pick 4 concepts to remember. Well, then your mind will only remember the 4 in 4 minutes. You do each one for 4 minutes, 4 times, and then move to the next one. 4 minutes, 4 times. The next definition or the thought, 4 minutes, 4 times. And then you take a break for 4 minutes, and that's how much your brain can hold. Or you do it for 3. Whatever number you choose, you do it 3 times, or the number times that many times, and for that many minutes. Okay, now I'm going to get back onto my trigger thought. That was my triggered thought. Okay, starting at the last thought and go back and see if it relates to the last. When relations of daydreaming, as I lay in bed, if I can fall asleep, that's when I stop my thoughts. Actions, though, speak louder than words, don't they, though? I mean, action to reaction, consequence. There's always a consequence of what was wanted. Like when my children were growing up, instead of them getting a punishment for what they did, I would give them consequences. They would choose their own punishment because that way they remembered the situation that caused the consequence to begin with because they felt in control. When we lose our own control, we feel punished. We feel like if someone goes silent on us or if someone doesn't speak to us for a while or, you know, something like that, then the communication ways are broken off. And then we did not get to choose what we needed and to healing. And so that leaves a raw open wound. And so therefore we tend to lash back out and lash back out and lash back out at different situations, people, places, or things. So what I do when I was raising my children is I would say, okay, you have your consequences. What are your favorite things? Like one child's would be no TV or no, or Ashley hated to write 100 times, I will not go in Jason's room or I will take my shower when I'm told. She could not stand to write. So she even tried to use two pencils at one time and write it down. So she would have to write. Like Jason, he had to, he would pick his consequence, like maybe not, his favorite thing was playing softball. I mean, baseball. He went to the World Series at age 12. And, so he would choose not to play baseball or, you know, play outside activities because he had to play, you know, with the all-star teams. But Matthews would be like, no dessert, because he loves dessert. They would have four or five consequences to choose from. You see what I'm saying? Let the child pick the consequence. And that really worked a lot for my children. And what I was going to say, that, you know, how people take words that hurt them and harm them. Well, I lash out sometimes when things hurt me, and I say things I don't mean. It's kind of like a vicious circle. Like if my mother gets upset about something, then I get upset at my daughter about something, and then my daughter in return gets upset about something to somebody else because it goes in a vicious circle. We tend to take out things that we mean to take out on our own selves, and we have to look at what that particular situation is bringing in front of our face when someone is doing something that hurts or harms us. Because remember, we are not the victim because of another person. In effect, we choose to become the victims of the situation. And so what I want to say to the listening audience is just think of bounces off on me, sticks to you like glue. Do you remember that as a child? Also, hurting my feelings, that's like a chip on my shoulder. I can put a little piece of, when I was a teenager, I used to put a piece of wood on my shoulder to say, that way I don't have a chip on my shoulder, to learn to, you know how somebody would say, I dare you to knock this off my shoulder. I dare you to knock this chip off my shoulder. You know, to start a fight. Or, I don't even know why I said that, but I just remember my brothers doing that. But I believe in magic. I believe in my wishes and my winkles and my nods. I believe in three wants and a wish day. I believe in genie lamps that are in my Nana's backyard. I believe in the tooth fairy because all is what I was as a child taught. And if you look in between the nursery rhymes and the books like that, those are hidden meanings that have a lot to do with hidden secrets to a lot of doors. So I always believe in, you know, looking and analyzing things. For me, there's a reason for a purpose of thought that's thoroughly analyzed and maybe even overanalyzed. And I might make excuses for myself and others. You know, I like to look at people like they're different types of paint on a picture because we're painting a picture for that person when we're talking. And some people are like an oil painting. Some people are like acrylic. And some people are like watercolors. You know, their temperaments dry differently. Even though some people are like a chalk drawing that can be smeared easily if it is handled until it's sprayed to be completed. So there's different mediums along the way that people are made up of. And so what another thing I wanted to tell you guys is that for self, my detailed of self-punishment of not on purpose or an accident, not meaning to, you know, say what I meant to say and I say something else, that causes a cause and effect. So I learned carefully to weigh out my words when I was growing up. Hopefully I can just go on and say them now instead of, you know, weighing them out. But I think that's discipline. I believe that's discipline. I feel that's discipline. I have to get out of saying I think, because I need to say I feel, because that's with my heart instead of my mind. And learning by my mistakes of actions of words. You know, if you think about it, how is it affecting self and others? Hello, you're on the air. I'm sorry, that's my call waiting. Oh, gosh, that's a poor little somebody calling in. Anyway, so does anybody want to be on the air? Why don't you call in? Because that means somebody's wanting to call in. 877-876-5227. That's USA only. And USA and Canada is 888-815-9756. The direct line is 530-876-3222. But someone that called in, that was my Uncle Ronnie. So anyway, your creative thoughts and wishes, which are mine, not yours, because they're mine. Creative thoughts and wishes are believing in setting the goals for short-term or long-term, right? And so if I write a contract to myself, that's what I learned to do. That's how I got all these journals together, writing contracts to myself and making a sacred promise to keep, like a pinky swear to myself. Goal set in my mind, reaching for the star. First step at a time, one day at a time, because nothing's automatic. So I have to say easy does it. I can't force it. I've got to encourage along with patience. That's a Pete-ism. My boyfriend Pete, he taught me that. So I put an ism on there for Pete-ism. He was pushing some gravel one day and making a trench for around his barn. And he said, you know, you can't force that stuff. You got to encourage it along with patience. He said, that's a lot like life. That's a lot like everything that we're learning, like speaking in this communication that I'm speaking of right now. If you keep your side of the street clean, he would tell me, he says, then everything will be all right. He said, but you always keep your mind out of the gutter, which is so true, because we walk along the streets and the pathways in our lives like a pathfinder. Because everyone's a bright light pathfinder, it's not just me, looking for the way. If you want it bad enough, he would say, this is just things Pete would say to me. He said, if you want it bad enough and believing in yourself, what matters, because I'm the author of my own future, and nothing is impossible within reason. And so I remembered after writing that, I have his name right beside it, that's why I was saying that. I remembered after that, you know, my purpose. What's my purpose? Because there's several ways of that are verbally born. There's an unconscious, and there is consciously of our thoughts home. And thought is what, you know, food for thought. And remember, the train of thought is like the engine. The first thought is the engine that's pulling our train of thought. So remember that when you're writing your books, when you get that blockage, just think of an adjective or just think of one word and play off of that when you're writing your books. Because unaware of my thoughts, I have to be careful of what I'm getting ready to speak in a conversation that needs to come to a, you know, an awareness, because I will just sit there and ride along with my thoughts in my head. So I have to stay in the specific moment. And I got somebody who got upset with me the other day. She said, Kathy, can't you just get out of the moment for 1 minute? And my mother thought that was the funniest thing in the whole wide world, because my answer machine, when you call, says stay in the moment. Or, you know, I have little tags up, stay in the moment, stay in the moment. And so she wanted me to read ahead of things, and I said, no, I won't do that, because we make our own destination. I feel that when a reader or when a person is giving an intuitive consultation, if they give out like, say, am I going to be a teacher, is what my girlfriend Beth asked me just a while ago, Leah Beth did. And I said, do you want to be a teacher? And she says, what do you see? And I said, well, it depends on what you want to see. Because if I place those words out there, then that's what the contact person is going to start holding on to and believing in. And when we start putting it out there, if someone tells us that we're something, or this is going to happen, or I'm going to move, if you don't really see it as a gifted one, then that person will hold on to it and make it come into their reality a lot of times, 99% of the time. So, you know, when they say, you're going to move, or we're going to move, and that's exactly what the person wanted to hear, well, that gives them that initiative and drive to move. So what I wanted to say also is cross your T's and dot your I's, and do not forget that, because phrases will forget it, you know, when we're talking. I notice when I talk on the air and listen back to my archives, I pick one specific little phrase that I say the whole entire show. Like with Wayne Lewis, I said, wow, wow, wow. And like this time I'm saying, you know, I must be trying to put something in my head and remember it well. There is a word that you can always use and circle it, like the word it. I always circle that word it. And remember, there's National K Day, because the K is always silent in certain things. You know, I learned something. Do you know why the word magic has a K at the end of it? Because it's the 11th letter, and because the 11th letter is supposed to be the most spiritually triggered number, the 11th number is the most triggered spiritual number there is in the realm, like the 1111 that I have on my profile page. I'm not even going to get into my profile page for right now, because that's for people to study, the 333 and the 1111 and the 2012. So please go to www.bbsradio.com/brightlightspathfinders/. Or you can scroll down to Thursdays at 6 o'clock Pacific time, and that's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, to the Bright Lights Pathfinders show with Kathy Cook. Guess I'm not going to have any call-ins, so I'll just keep on talking. Or either I'll read some people out there that wonder what's going on. They're curious right now to know what's going on. Like, you want me to tell you something or what? Come on, what? What? Like, I won't forget. Or I don't ever know what it is that I want to know. So then, you know, a lot of times I want to say this too. A lot of times, did you know that men peak, their peak time, I heard this somewhere, I don't know where, or I read it somewhere a long time ago, I think from Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, in the Mr. Gray's book, but men peak, no, I think I heard it on Oprah, I'm not sure, it doesn't matter, I just heard it. Men peak at 11 to 11:30 to 12 o'clock in their peak prime time, where women peak at the round 7 to 8 o'clock time after the dishes and everything are done. That's a lot of the communication gap between men and women. Because men are tired. They want to put on their thinking cap, and they want you to just talk, a woman to just talk, and get to the point to where a woman needs to go around and around and around to get to what's really finally at the bottom of the ocean surfacing bothering them. Now, I know that I got that from Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Well, hello there, Leah Beth. I was just talking about you.
I heard you.
Did you?
I did. I've been listening to you.
Well, that's good.
I like to listen to you because then I can get spiritual guidance.
How wonderful. I haven't talked to you in so long. I was just telling Seth, the engineer, that tells me, and you're on in 5, 4, 3. And, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped us get on the air. I was just telling him that I hadn't heard from you in eons, and that you were Abby's sister, and that you PM'd me right before the show, and I was hoping that you would call in.
Yeah. speaking of Abby, has she been on the show lately?
No, Abby hasn't been on the show lately. We need Abby back. That's Miss Abby Diamond. Everyone remembers her, I'm sure. She was like the first, one of my first shows. She talked about candles. She talked about colors. She talked about what they represented and meant. She is really, really, really great.
Yeah.
And so are you. Well, you're real intuitive.
Yeah. We both have our own specialities.
Yeah. So, how's your trip?
Well, I'm getting ready to leave Saturday for 2 whole weeks, and I am banking on good leaves. I am really hoping that the leaves will be beautiful.
Yeah, you're getting out there for me, right?
I'm going to go see the leaves and take pictures and send them to you so you can enjoy them.
Even though I'm right here in North Carolina, I just can't get out and walk around.
I know. Why don't you get somebody to come get you in a wheelchair and take you out?
Well, Leah Beth, I go Monday to see what's going on. And they told me to stay totally off of it. So that's what I have to do.
Now, do you have trees in the yard that you could open the window and look?
Apartment. And I can walk with sometimes without the limp and sometimes with the limp. But a vascular necrosis is what I've got, and that's a depleted blood to the supply of the bone. And it'll crumble. It's like my hip is like a ping pong ball that's got all these dents in it, and any minute it can snap.
Now, when are you having your hip replacement?
Well, they're going to let me know Monday. I was supposed to go this past Monday, but I couldn't get there because my mother had, at the last minute, something that came up. And so I wasn't able to get to the doctor. But they got me on something called Ultram, which has helped a lot, but I only take it when I go to bed. And you know me and drugs, I don't mix well with drugs. So anyway, I'm going
to... It's hard for me to envision you not getting out because I've known you for a long time and you're very athletic, always with more energy than any person should have, running around doing things. I just can't see you not out there doing these things.
Isn't that funny? And what I do, though, I'm enjoying because what I do is a lot of writing, a lot of photographs, enhancing photographs, making movies on the internet, and I put them in different names so that they're just spread out everywhere, and I just work for, you know, God, and that's what I do, and I'm pretty content with it because I stay in the moment, I don't dwell on it, and I know that's what it is because it is what it is, and I can't change that. So far, I can do a lot of healing with myself through prayers and people, other people putting some good energy out there. It takes a lot of the pain out. But they bone cord drilled that one leg, and I had the hip replacement on the other leg. But the bone cord drilling leg is the one that's got to be replaced. And the knee on the...
Are those from taking steroids when your doctor put you on steroids? Is that the problem?
Yeah, and I had pneumonia. Exactly. And I had the steroids for, what, 3 or 4 weeks and or 6 weeks or however long. And then I had them by mouth for 6 months because I almost died. That was in 2001.
Yeah, so whoever's out there listening, when they tell you not to do steroids, even if your doctor thinks you need them, you only take them for, like, at the absolute have to.
That's like that Z-Pak. You know, you can take the Z-Pak, makes you really hungry and everything. But the steroids for bodies... You know, the people that work out, my gosh, will kill
you. Yeah, well, no, they're different steroids, right?
Yeah. But those are addicting, I heard.
Yeah, I know some young kids that are, you know, 19 years old that are taking those to work out, and what happens is not only do they get these fantastic bodies, but they get aggressive and they get cranky and their personalities change and they ultimately crash and burn.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know all that happened.
Yeah, you get really, really... I've taken steroids. You know that
I've had
bad cases of poison ivy. I mean, like, terrible case of poison ivy. And I have taken those step-up, step-down steroids.
That's the Z-Pak that I was asking you about. That's what you did a couple of years ago. I remember that.
And it makes you feel, you know, I'm a small person. I've always been kind of strong, but I'm still a small person. But I felt like a lumberjack. On these steroids, man, I could chop wood. It was great, even, and I understand why people like them, but they're just so dangerous.
I couldn't sleep with them.
Yeah, they make you real jittery.
I was hungry all the time.
What?
I was hungry all the time.
Oh.
Hey, Leah Beth, why don't you tell, I'm going to tell some people about the Mana Bay. Do you mind?
No, I don't mind at all, but you don't need to push it for me because I'm really a user, not a seller anymore. I don't sell it, but I use it.
That's what healed my dog's leg. And my leg last year, was it last year or the year before?
Yeah.
The Mana Bay. Because it's a natural berry from the rainforest. And you know my next door neighbor, he got to where he could walk, but the one with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He got walk and got to New York to get some treatments because of that Mana Bay you sent him.
Yeah. Well, it's very expensive, and a lot of people don't want to use it because it is expensive. But I wanted to make sure it really worked because I've been on it over a year. And you know I have not had a cold in over a year.
Wow.
So I went off of it for 3 weeks just to see.
Uh-huh.
So I woke up one night in the middle of the night, and my wrist hurt, my knee hurt, and my ankle hurt, and everything hurt, and I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to take some. So I took it like a big, big swig. I woke up at 7:30 in the morning. This was like 3:30 in the morning. I woke up at 7:30. I hit the ground. I went, oh, my gosh, I don't have any more pain. So I'm not really sure. I think it just probably has the world's best glucosamine in it.
It has one in it?
But I swear by it, but I don't really sell it anymore.
What does it have in it, though?
Well, it has glucosamine. You know what glucosamine is, right?
Uh-uh.
Glucosamine is something that you take that helps your joints.
I want to bubble it, and you told me I could only have 2 ounces.
Yeah. Well, that's only because it's so expensive you don't want to drink more. You can drink as much as you want of it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, I got kind of like I loved it. I gave it to a lot to my brother John, you know. What did Mike call it, your brother? The hoodoo juice? The hoodoo juice or something like that?
What did he say? Say that again.
His name. The hoodoo juice?
I can't remember.
Oh, no, but it was really good. It made me realize that if a doctor is saying it's pretty good, then it's pretty good. But people can find it on YouTube or whatever, too.
Oh, yeah, you can find it anywhere. I mean, you can probably go on eBay, and they don't want to do this, but you could probably buy it for less than market price by going on eBay.
Oh, really?
That's but I do. I absolutely love it. I've tried all these other products. There's been a million health products that come out, but that's the one that I stick with. And I spend about $1,000 for a case of 12. And to me, it's worth it. I don't think there's anything more important than your health.
Yeah, I stayed on it for, 6 months and did really well with it. And my dog had twisted her leg, and my little puppy, whoppy, girly, whirly, she's about 25 pounds. She twisted it on my deck was rotten and before the house got rebuilt. And you said give the Mana Bay to her, and even the horse vet that I go to said that they give it to the horses.
Yeah.
But the joints, it rebuilds something, the liquid in the joints or something, too.
Yeah, well, that's the glucosamine in it. It's real good.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's just a natural anti-inflammatory. But above the Mana Bay, there's things that you have to do in life that are important. And if I could go back in time and I could change two things in my life. The first thing is I would have never picked up a cigarette at the age of 15. And, you know, being from North Carolina, everybody smokes.
Beth, we smoked in the mirror to see how we would smoke.
I know, trying to be cool, doing our Winston 100 red.
And she put the cigarette was already out, but she picked it up and put it on my hand and said, it's still warm. It's still warm.
So if I could change it, that would be the first thing I'd change. The second thing I'd change is I would have never quit exercising during middle life because I'm back to exercising again. But if I would have never given it up back in, you know, in midlife when you're just so busy with your young children and work and you just feel like you don't have time to exercise, you should make time every single day to exercise.
Now, that's when I did exercise, Leah Beth.
Say that again, Kathy. I couldn't hear you.
And I quit when I went to work.
Yeah.
Remember I started that children's gymnastics and exercise club.
Right.
And the tumble club and tall, fine, and gross motor skills. But I roller skated into Matthews and back on the road and
bicycled 40 miles every 3 days and worked out.
Remember, before we had children, you and I used to go to the YMCA, and that's before it was Vogue, and do gymnastics.
I know. We had to go all the way across town to the YMCA.
Yep.
And we did the uneven. You were fantastic on the uneven parallel bars.
I was okay until you put me next to somebody else that really knew what they were doing.
Huh?
For the average person, I was okay.
Leah, listen, I just saw a picture that you sent in an email, and then I emailed you back, or I emailed you back, when I hadn't talked to you in forever and a day, and you were upside down on a rope swinging into the water, and your muscles and your legs from riding those horses and doing all that you do, you look fit as a fiddle.
For 52, I'm okay. But if I would have never quit exercising, I could have been awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, anybody that's listening, eat healthy. Don't smoke.
I'm going to say how many days you got left for your 52, so hold on to your 51.
I forgot you actually know the truth.
It's what, a week to 2-3 weeks? I'm not even going to say because I don't want to put your birthday out there on the air.
Well, you want to hear something funny? I don't mind putting my birthday out there. I thought for all these years I was born in 57 because I used to remember my birthday by going 11-11-57. You see how it kind of rhymes, 11-11-57?
Uh-huh.
My driver's license say I was born in 57, but the truth is I was born in 56.
I know you were born in 56.
Yeah.
No, did not do that on your driver's license.
Yeah, because I really believed it. And there's the power of belief. If you truly believe something.
That's what you're talking about. What you put in your mind, it's going to be there.
Yeah. I mean, I even think about the job that I do today. When I was younger, I was doing something, and I kept thinking, this is what I'd really like to do.
Uh-huh.
I want to work on projects. I don't want to do the same thing every day. I want to be creative. I'm not an artist, but I want to put things together, right? And then all of a sudden, I became somehow a sign maker only 5 years ago, and every day that's what I do. I'm creative. I put things together. I'm not an artist, but because of the computer, I can make things look pretty damn good.
Oh, it's phenomenal, too. Signs by Diamond.
And so I knew all those years ago what I wanted to do. I just didn't know it was a sign maker. So what I would like to say to younger people that don't know what they want to do, just think real hard about what do you really enjoy. And somehow, some way, it will all come together if you really try hard enough.
And put your mind to it and hold on to that dream. That's why I said a while ago, I believe in Cinderella. I believe in the fairy godmother. I believe in the tooth fairy. And I believe in the Magic Genie Lamp in Nana's backyard because those were things that I believed in as a child, and I still held on to them.
Yeah.
But you're meaning, like, real life stuff, too. That's the goals that we need to set and hold on to them and believe them, right? That's a very great point to make. God, that is just awesome.
Yeah, we can all do what we want to do. Really hold on to it. And sometimes you don't even really know what you want to do. For example, I'll give you a really good example. My son is excellent in mathematics, just started college. He went into the engineering department because he couldn't think of what to do. And all the counselors said, well, if you're really good in mathematics, you should go into engineering. Well, he's not an engineer, really and truly, because an engineer is one of those people that look at a bridge and they wonder how it was made and they really get into the structure of it and, you know, just get real deep. And, he, you know, those kind of things don't really intrigue him. But what really intrigues him is we're talking about finances and the difference between Barack Obama and McCain and you know, our financial meltdown that we just recently almost had and how everything plays into it. And so we're talking. I mean, 4 hours to Miami and 4 hours home from Miami. We're just talking finances. And I finally said, Jason, you love math? You love finance. Do the same thing. Change your major.
Wow.
And so I think he's going to change. And he could become an economist. He could become a financial planner. He could be one of those dudes on TV talking about, you know, how they're going to fix the crisis.
Yeah. You know, my son Jason is an engineer. He's a civil engineer.
Now, when he was a little kid, did he always like to see how things were made, and was he intrigued with things?
He's more into the statics and to statistics. Like if you take a pond or a natural water bed and you have to build something there, you have to put back exactly that natural habitat. So many tadpoles, so many mosquitoes, so many this, so many that, so much algae into the same habitat, into the same vicinity so that it is not damaged. And he's into static statistics and stuff like that. But he also builds things, you know, like bridges and stuff and erosion and how it became and how to keep it from eroding and, you know, that kind of engineer.
Yeah, he's truly an engineer.
Yes. He just went from one company of 50 to 700. He just got a big promotion to a big company. As a matter of fact, I'm going to brag on your husband a minute, made my son a gentleman's handle that is like an heirloom. And picked out the handle of it and made it from scratch. And I'm going to have to put that on my page one day so everybody can see that gorgeous gentleman's handle. And even put his name in there and the date of his wedding, which was the 21st of October.
Yeah.
And said it was, and his words, what did he say? It was presented to him and by his honorable mother or whatever. I mean, it was so cool.
He's
awesome.
A very sensitive person.
So, you know, we all have our talents, don't we? We just have to dig deep and find what we really, really like and stick to one thing or maybe two things. And, you know, don't do so many at one time and let our minds scatter.
Yeah. Did you realize we both have kids named Jason? I just kind of thought about that.
I know we both have Jasons. Boy, get out of that pool.
yours has a few years on mine, but still. They're both grown ups now. Now mine's in college. My last baby left the house, so.
Gosh, you got that empty nest syndrome?
I do, but in a good way. I'm just so thrilled for both of my kids, and it just makes me so happy when I think of them in college because I remember what it was like to be in college, and it's just a great time in your life.
Is Philip in college as well?
Yeah, Philip's in Miami. He's going to a community college, but he's going to transfer, and maybe he'll even end up in the same college that Jason's going to. Maybe they'll be roommates one day. They get along really well.
That is so great. Matthew's doing well. He's still a fireman, and Ashley is still with Lexus, you know, being the manager of where you drive your cars in and out, and her husband.
And what does she think of married life? Is she
Oh, my gosh. They are just dripping and oozing with the love. They are so in love. It's beyond love. It's soulmates. Isn't that great? They dated for 5 years. They broke up for they dated 2 years, broke up for a year, and then dated for 3 more years to make sure.
Yeah, it's hard to find a soulmate. I told both of my kids, I said, you know, just be careful. I mean, and you can't even be too careful. Because no matter what, you can end up giving half of everything to your former wife and, you know, live in a separate house from your kids. I mean, it happens all the time, and you just can't be too careful. So if you can find your soulmate, maybe that's the key to the problem.
Leah, I found a letter from you when I was cleaning up the house.
Yeah.
To decide what to keep and not to keep before it was rebuilt. And you said, Kathy, I know... Or you called me Cassie. You said, I know you think you love Marty. And you maybe do love Marty. However, it's not going to last because you're only 18 and getting married at 19. And boy, were you right. We became best friends.
I know, but here's the deal. So it didn't last forever, but you have 3 wonderful children, and you would never trade that for anything.
And he's a great person. I still talk to him on the phone once or twice, you know, 3 times a month. And he's got a great wife that matches him perfectly. But we were just best friends. I married my best friend, you know, that's a guy.
Well, Kathy, you got married because you were ready to get out of the house.
Yep. And we got restricted the other week, too, because Mama found some of our pictures.
That's so funny.
Mama, she said, look at this book. You and Beth were so bad.
You're
what
mad at me again.
We weren't bad, though. We were fun.
I know, but she thinks I was a bad influence on you. She couldn't believe that maybe you might have had a mind
of your own. That has the polo club, and what he called on the phone that day.
That was something, wasn't it? Some things you never forget.
I want to ask you a few of your... If you could give the listening audience one adjective, one descriptive adjective, or one good thought. You already gave them one good thought about go for your dreams to the younger people. What would you, and the two things you would change in your life, what would you give as a descriptive adjective word to hold on to? What do you hold on to as a word?
Well, it would have to be hope. You always have to hope that whatever it is you want, you can hope for it. Because if you don't have hope, then you really don't have anything.
That's so true. I get confused with belief, hope, and knowing, because I know the knowing, and I'm always learning about the mystery keeper. And that's the knowing, because that God knows everything. And I know the hope, because then that will go into my believing. But hope is even a bigger word than the believing word. And faith. That's a really great word. What color do you get with that?
I don't know, but now my faith is different than most people's faith. I think I've substituted hope for faith. I don't believe in something blindly. I believe in something that I would like to happen, but I don't just believe in something because it's supposed to be, and you already know that about me.
You believe in destiny?
Do I believe in destiny? I believe that things happen for a reason, and sometimes you get lucky enough to figure out what the reason was.
Man, that's a great answer, girl. You're making 100.
What?
A lot. I know you're teaching the listening audience a lot, too. I tell you, you know me probably as good as I know myself as growing up and everything, and I try to, I did what I did. I was telling Mom about how we meditated that day that you came to visit, really tired. She allowed me to do that to her last week. I had to tap her on the foot to wake her up from it. But, I mean, isn't meditation, don't you believe, is one of the best solutions to a lot of situations?
Oh, yeah, I think meditation is great. I mean, for many different reasons, you can get in touch with yourself and you can go to a place and actually think about things that you couldn't think about with everything running around in your daily life. It would, you know, it's just very healthy to meditate, but most of us don't have that much time to do it. So you have to learn how to do it at certain times, and I'll tell you a good time to do it is when you're in bed at night and you can't sleep. Just start focusing on a color, and after a while you can see that color with your eyes closed. And because you're focusing so much, it's the same thing as meditating, and then your mind can calm down and you can go to that place that helps you restore your vitality.
That is such a great thing to give out to the universe, Leah Beth. And, you know, I was going to say the difference in the way that we are today. Remember when we couldn't even figure out what a meditation was? And I said, well, maybe it's just brushing the horse. And staying in that moment. Or maybe it's just picking the grass. Or smelling the grass. That was a long, 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 long time ago we were deciding what meditation was. Before it was out on the internet.
Yeah, well, it's a healthy thing. I mean, one of the healthier types of exercising besides classical stretch, which I strongly believe in, is Tai Chi, which is a form of, you know, exercising and almost meditating, and yoga. Those are all good spiritual Eastern type of exercises, philosophies that work. They just plain work.
They do. I love Tai Chi and the isometrics it feels like. You used to tell me last year to do some more isometrics with my body to help my legs. And, you know, you want to explain to the listening audience what isometrics are that don't know,
well,
that type of exercise?
Well, the isometrics are just using something. You don't even have to use an actual thing, and you can just feel like you're squishing your legs in, then pretend like there's a ball between them, and then do the opposite, feel like there's a rubber band on your leg and try to pull them apart without actually moving them.
And you told me to strengthen my arms by pushing against the fake wall.
That's really good for your wrist. Like if you're on the mouse all the time on the computer, you just stand up straight to a wall and you put your hand flat on the wall and try to make it perpendicular by just keeping, you know, pushing it back. And you'll be surprised how unflexible your right hand is compared to your left hand.
Oh, man. I'm so left-handed.
Oh, well, now you're left-handed, so your left hand would be very, you know, very stiff, if that's the if you use your mouth in your left hand. I don't know if you do or not.
You know, I noticed that I like to pull my thumb inward on my left hand. I hold chalk so small, the teeniest pieces of chalk when I'm doing my artwork, that my hand automatically thinks it's holding a piece of chalk when I'm going to sleep.
Oh, really? That's cool.
It's into that position where my finger and thumb touch.
That's kind of like, you know, when you're sleeping and you don't even know what you're doing and all of a sudden you're saying words, but you're typing them because your fingers know where all the letters are.
You remember when we did that with the word eight, the letter eight, we were going great, hate, make, take, say, set. What all, take. We did that with the letter eight, the number eight one day a couple of years ago, and we came up, we did that for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, we came up with a lot of, I guess they were rhymes, right?
Well, it was whatever eight went into, you know, like great, G-R-8, and for hate, H-8-T, and we substituted the eight.
Oh, that's right. We used the number.
Yeah.
And yeah, that
number 8 and 11 I love.
Yeah, well, 8 is a great number because it's infinity.
Yeah, goes either way, up and down, left or right.
Now, what is it with 11 that you like? Why is that number so special?
Well, I have just always known the number 11 since I was a little girl, and every single child, my son's born on my birthday, which I'm an 11th. Ashley's born on the 11th. Jason married a 29, which is an 11. And Matthew is the 29th, which is an 11. And Ashley's husband's an 11. And then Matthew's dating a woman that's the 11. And 11 is the healing for the star Orion, is the myth or whatever. And 11-11 opens the gate to the healing of the star Orion, which Orion used to be the greatest warrior of healing of the earth. And then when he was the great hunter as well and killed all the rabbits that were everywhere on the earth, you know, getting in beds and everything like that and getting in people's foods and just rabbits everywhere. Well, Scorpion, I mean, he said he was so in love with Zeus's daughter that he said, I love you so much, I could just kill every beast on this earth. And Mother Earth got so upset, she took his words literally, and she had Scorpion go and sting him on the foot above the ankle and kill him. And so what happened was Zeus's daughter was so traumatized by it that Zeus, instead of sending him to Hades, put him at the brightest star in the sky. And around him put the seven dogs, and around him put Scorpion Flame, hung Scorpion Flame there later. And what the 11-11 believes in and doing is bringing back the healing of Mother Earth through the scorpion, through the stars. That's just the myth that I read about it not too long ago, probably like maybe 2 months ago. Someone had given me a book called The 11-11, and I had the first book out of 11-11. It was white, and that's how, you know, I found out what that meant. But I've just always liked the numbers 1111. It's like I saw them on the clock, and I saw them everywhere I went. I saw 11-11. You still there? Well, Leah got dropped off the air. Okay, well, it's 9:54. We have about 8 minutes left. Leah Beth, if you want to give a call back, we'll put you back in.
But if not, I'm going to go on and say that that's like the different natures, you know, the star nature and then the God-centered nature. But it is also like human nature as to environmental nature. So it doesn't matter which way you look at it. It's all in what you want to believe in. What you believe in and what you have hope in, like she said, is what will become and evolve. Because if we believe and hope hard enough, that's what our realities will be. So the phone numbers, again, are 877-876-5227. That's USA only. And the USA and Canada number is 888-815-9756. The direct line, bbsradio.com, is 530-876-3222. But we only have about 3 minutes left, so is there anything anybody wants to say real quick? Give me a thought. Natural disasters inside ourselves are natural disasters outside in the world, environmental, or is that humanistic? Always remember, the people that you love the most, you can count on your hands to really depend on. The rest are just acquaintances. And this woman that just called, we can pick right up and just start talking as if we have not ever lost communication, because I've known her since, what, the first grade, and we became best friends around, I think I was in the 9th grade and she was in the 7th or 8th grade. Anyway, we gave her a ride to school one day and that's how it started. And she's friends with Maddie that y'all know on the internet, my godmother, my children, and we all had the same little group. Well, there's one more thing that I'd like to say before we close today. And that is that whatever's on your mind, remember, you can never mind it. You can say never mind to your mind and forget about it. And the other thing I want to say is don't build your curiosity so much that you want to skin that cat. Always remember that it's whatever we think and feel and say and do is what will evolve around each other. And listen with your heart, not your mind. Your mind is man-made, but the people, places, and things along the way. And with that, Steph, Don, I'm off the air, 10-4. Good buddy.